Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from John 3, and we'll be focusing on verse 3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for the gift of baptism and the gift of new birth through water and the Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit work in these words about to be spoken so that they work in the hearts and the lives of the hearers who hear them. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, this is week two of a series called No Ordinary Water. And this has all been about baptism and the reason that we are doing this series is because I want you to appreciate baptism all the more. And especially I want you to appreciate it not as just an act, a rite, a ritual that we do, but as something God does for you in that rite and for the rest of your life. So last week, with the baptism of our Lord, we looked at the Romans passage where baptism unites us with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that we die to sin and live for God in newness of life every day. Today, we're going to be talking about how baptism makes us born again. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. When talking about birth, it's kind of hard, isn't it, giving birth? Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there are people out there, there are women, who have never given birth before. They were not able to. And they either don't have children or they adopted. This is not meant to disparage you in any way, shape, or form. But giving birth is hard because I actually saw it with my own eyes, just how hard it is. With the birth of my first child, our daughter Grace, I never realized just how powerful the drug Pitocin actually is. Even just a little bit of it will help move the process along. But when you've been waiting forever all day long since 6:30 in the morning to give birth to your first child, and they put a lot of Pitocin in you, all of a sudden it accelerates, and I was a mess. She did a great job. Melissa did a great job. And of course, it's difficult and it's hard, but once the child is born, it's a new life. We were overjoyed. But what if someone went up to Melissa and said to her, "Sorry, you're going to have to go through the entire labor process again because the child born was not alive." What do you think her reaction was going to be? I know what her reaction would be, but just think about it. What do you think a mother's reaction would be to say to her, "You're going to have to go through labor again to have your child"? Hopefully that kind of gives you a hint as to the reaction Nicodemus has in our text. It's a fairly straightforward narrative. Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. He is a teacher. He has high status. And he has been observing this rabbi named Jesus and everything that he has been doing and saying. And he thinks he's got it figured out. Yeah. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." It's obvious to him that Jesus is just more than a teacher. He's doing signs. The only sign recorded at this point in the Gospel of John is Jesus turning water into wine. But there is indication that he will continue to do more signs and greater signs than that. So this teacher must have God with him. And Nicodemus is curious. What's going on with you, Jesus? I think I have you figured out. And here's what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, apart from that being kind of like a record scratch in the conversation, it's apparent that Nicodemus doesn't know anything about who Jesus is and about why he has come among them. And it's apparent because Nicodemus reacts like this. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's a teacher of Israel, and yet he doesn't get this at all. He does not get at all what is going on with Jesus and why he has come. Because he hears that word that Jesus speaks again, but it can also mean from above, from heaven, from God. He thinks that Jesus is just merely talking about physical birth, and that if one is old, how can you be born again from your mother's womb a second time? He just does not get it. And here's Jesus' response. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wow. Nicodemus not only doesn't get Jesus, he is in deep trouble here. You see, the flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And it's clear that Nicodemus and his response means he is reacting of the flesh. If he does not clearly understand who Jesus is and why he has come and the kind of kingdom he has brought, he cannot even see or enter the kingdom of God, no matter how much wisdom or knowledge, what his pedigree is, no matter how much righteousness he brings to the table. He must be born again. Okay, that's fine. That's about as straightforward as we can get. But the implications for you and me are astounding. Like I said with the kids, everyone has been born, right? Everyone is born. But even though you were born alive, you're, you know, maybe crying and kicking, and you grew up and you're walking around and talking and doing things to show you're alive, everyone who is born stillborn spiritually. All of us are born of the flesh, dead in our sin, even though we grow up and we live our lives. We are dead in our sins and our trespasses. We are cut off from God, our Creator. We are cut off from His kingdom. We can't see it. We can't enter it. We don't even know it. And so we are destined to live a life of death, where we are following the wisdom of the world. It's foolishness. Where we sin. Where we think evil thoughts. We say evil words. We do harmful actions to others. That's our destiny if we are born of the flesh. And if we ever, ever want to see or enter the kingdom of God, His rule, His reign, then we must be born again we must be born from above. I want to show you something. No, this is not a picture of a planet. This is a picture of the basin of our baptismal font. What shape is it? It's a circle. Yeah. Now, a little bit of trivia and history here. Baptismal fonts, way back in the early church, many of them were not round. In fact, they were actually in the shape of a cross. There were stairs leading up to these deep kind of pools, but it was the shape of the cross because you would go down and be baptized and die. But over the years, they started to become round. And probably one of the most popular baptismal font shapes is an octagon with a round baptismal basin. And that's fine. In fact, there's nothing wrong with the cross-shaped one or the round one. Except I want to point out one thing. Look at it. And tell me it does not look like this. Tell me that the round shape of a baptismal basin does not look like the womb of a mother giving birth to her child. Baptism is what makes you born again, born from above. It is the water the Holy Spirit uses to give you new life. You see, the Holy Spirit, he blows wherever he wants to go. We can't control him. But he chooses to blow into our dead bodies of flesh and causing Jesus Christ to be born again in you and me. Because that's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to Jesus when he was baptized in the Jordan. We have to remember, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit with him the entire time, but in the Jordan, through water, and when the Holy Spirit came upon him in the shape of a dove, he was born again to go to the cross, to go and die for our sin, and to rise again so that he could be brought by the Holy Spirit into the waters of baptism and give us new birth and to bring us into the kingdom of God. You see, through baptism, you enter the kingdom of God. You're no longer cut off from God at all. In fact, you are brought into his presence. In fact, he now lives and dwells in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And through baptism, you can see the kingdom of God. You can see that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever has faith in him, believes in him by the power of the Holy Spirit, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, baptism is where the Holy Spirit comes and works faith in you and works through you. Because the born-again thing, yes, it did happen at the baptismal font, and that is wonderful. But I hope you realize that just as the words of Paul says in Galatians 5, since you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Every day in your baptism, the Holy Spirit becomes your mother, giving birth to you, this new life, every day of your lives. You see, every day you are born again when the Holy Spirit takes this body of flesh and gives birth to a spiritual life, a righteous life, a life where the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control spring forth from your life. And every day you are born again when you not only see the kingdom of God, when you not only enter the kingdom of God, but you live in the kingdom of God. When you live under the grace of God alone, when the power of the Holy Spirit, His wisdom, His righteousness, His love works through this child of God anew every single day. So, unlike the mother who is told, sorry, you're going to have to give birth again, and I don't think any mother would want to go through that. The Holy Spirit loves to give birth to new children. Loves to give birth to children of God each and every day. Loves to make them born again in the waters of holy baptism. Amen.